Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're just breaking down like a real serious issue right now, as in whether MLS teams should be allowed or should have like these ridiculous like knockoff names of Real Salt Lake. Like, you know, you're not Real Madrid. Like, you're Salt Lake City. There's a big difference. Like, you know what I mean? You know, like, for some reason,
Inter Miami. You know, they're not Inter Milan.
No. But Miami, I can live with Miami, Inter Miami, because Miami is a very international city. And in fact, Miami is one of the most diverse cities in the world. All right? So Miami is a very diverse, you know, so I get that. You know what I'm saying? You know, like Inter Miami, it's got, you know, I don't like it. You know what I mean? But it's not the worst one. It's not the best one. Real Salt Lake is the stupidest Kansas name City. In sports. No, that's a good one. That's a good one. No problem.
Copycat names, though. I don't like copycat names.
They don't own the word sporting. Sport. They're a sport club. There's a lot of sportings in the world. It's a million sportings in soccer. Sporting is fine. I don't look at sporting. I think Sporting KC is one of the good names. Now, look at me personally. I prefer the old school names. I prefer the old school names. Like, that's why I like the Vancouver Whitecaps, right? That's a classic name. They've had that name forever in the North American Soccer League, and it transferred over. Montreal changed their name all the time. Like they were the Impact, which was a good name. Now they're the Club de Foot. They decided to go French, Club de Foot. And whatever. Now it's just CF. That's what the sports books call them now. CF Montreal. But yeah, I don't want to make a whole big deal about every MLS name. And I am an MLS fan. But I do understand. And look, we have people in Europe right now that are tuning in, and they're laughing their ass off about this stuff, too. You know, our man Ghoster says Sporting KC is the worst. You're wrong. Sporting KC is fine. It's fine.
You must be a Wizards fan.
San Jose, yeah, old school. San Jose Earthquakes, that's a good name. Speaking of earthquakes, San Diego beats Los Angeles in the battle. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues.
Relax. You don't have to actually play these sports. Just know about them. Keep it here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
Bon appetit.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Halfback passes to the center, back to the wing, back to the center. Center holds it.
Halfback passes to center, back to wing, back to center. Center holds it.
I can't bear this any longer. I'm leaving.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. All right, I want to get into the baseball, San Diego and Los Angeles, but we're all into this MLS stuff, and now we've started a firestorm in our late night chat on the Sports Grid Radio YouTube page. And for those of you, you know, someone that might be a regular listener out there wondering about the chat, you can find it, Sports Grid Radio YouTube. Just go to YouTube, Sports Grid Radio. You'll see Sports Rage, and you can hang with the freaks and the degenerates in the overnight hours. But now James is taking pot shots from Australia. Fair joke. I'm going to give you the joke, James. But like everything, you know, you get the pot shot, but then we get the response after. Matthias might get a laugh out of it. He says the names aren't the problem in the MLS. The quality of football is the problem. fair.
It's gotten better.
So, all right.
It's gotten better.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. And let me just say, though, number one, listen, James, and I love you, James, and we love the AFL, and you guys are good swimmers, you're good cyclists, you're good AFL players, you're good at cricket, you're good at rugby. But I got to tell you, I've watched the Australian pro soccer leagues, bro, all right? You're not in a position to be taking any pot shots at the MLS. and in fact, I'd like to see this. Let's bring it on. Let's set it up. I wish we could just have the power. Let's make the Queensland, whatever the hell they're called, play against the LAFC and see what happens. No, I'm calling out the wrong guy. Oh, poor James. Poor guy. It was actually Ken, who's in England, who can run his mouth. Oh, God. Yeah, son of a bitch. Ah, I take it all back. Ah, you guys suck, too. What are you, England? Ooh, England. When was the last time you won a... last time the England won something, the Leafs won something. Now we're really going to start pissing people off. We got to change the subject. I'm sorry, James. Australia's great. No, but Ken in England, Ken in England's allowed to talk. Yeah. But calm down, Britain, all right? They're not paying the players £888 million a year here. All right, settle down. Now people in Australia. Australian soccer's all right. What? No, it's true. No, someone in the chat. I know Australian soccer. No, somebody's saying, listen, I know the Australian League. The Australian Soccer League is high scoring. That's what it is. It's high scoring. There's a lot of goals. You don't bet unders in that league. But it's not, the MLS is better than the Australian League. Let's not get carried away here with the MLS hate. And the EPL is only slightly better than the MLS, all right? maybe a little bit, a lot better. It's always a debate, actually. Look, you're a big soccer fan. So think about it for Matthias. Like, where do you rank MLS in world soccer leagues, domestic leagues? Like, you know what I'm saying? So number one, let's say EPL's number one. You know, like I said, think about it. I didn't say keep on. Yeah, like I said, think about it for a minute and come back to me. Right? So we know, you know, listen, people are going to talk about EPL number one. And, you know, I guess it is as far as the domestic league is. You can't, you know what I mean? The amount of money in it and everything. It's a powerhouse. The Spanish Liga, there's only a couple of good teams. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that, you know, they're not good, the other teams. But, you know, I'm talking about powerhouses. But it's a debate. And look, you know, I believe we have this debate almost every year, and there's been rankings and stuff like that. I think the hardcore soccer people, I think, will tell you that MLS is like 10 to 12 in a 10. So let me ask you, Matthias, do you think MLS is top 10 in the world? A top 10 league in the world?
No, not at all. I have them in maybe close to the 20s, Gabe. You know, you got to think
the
of
20s?
All the in South America. Yeah, you got to think Argentina League is much better. Brazil League is much better. You know, Chile is much better. Uruguay is much better. You know, we could pretty much pick all the countries in South America.
All those countries' best players, all those countries' best players don't play in their leagues.
I think, listen,
I love Uruguayan soccer. Big fan. Love betting on them in the international tournaments. But I think it's a stretch that you have them in the 20s. So we're like,
well, no, it's,
dude, it,
even in Europe,
they're comparable to the Mexican league. They're comparable to the Mexican league, the MLX.
They're a grade below Mexico. They're right below Mexico. You know, when has the MLS ever won a tournament with Mexican leagues, with the Mexican teams combined? They always fall short, but they're almost there. MLS is getting very close.
TFC
coming. They're close. They're close.
TFC.
They're very close.
TFC just eliminated the Mexican champ last week. Leon got bounced by TFC in TFC's first games of the year. I don't know, like, how, you know what I mean? I don't know, like, their lineups and how serious and stuff like that. But I'm gonna punch this in. Let's see. Like I said, you're off with the 20s. You're free to your opinion. You're free to your opinion. Let's ask.
15 to 20. Somewhere in there.
I'm saying, like, all right, so just off the top, look, EPL, Spanish Liga, Bundesliga, Liga, Italian League, Dutch League, so that's five. So up to Dutch, Portuguese League, six.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily in this order, this is off the top of my head. So you got the Portuguese League is a badass league, absolutely. The French League. French league, so that's seven. France, so up to seven. All right, so come at me here. Like, you want to get into the South American? So what European country are we missing here then? That's like, all right, yeah, their league's a lot. Holland, the Dutch league. I didn't conclude them yet.
We said that.
Did we? All right, so we're only at seven.
You added that.
I don't know if I did. So, but...
Let's go to South America. We got to go Brazil. We got to go Chile. We got to go Argentina. And then we got to go Mexico. So right away, those are four more leagues that are better than the MLS.
All right, here's from a British website here. Top 10 best soccer leagues in the world, 2020. MLS, number 10. MLS, number 10. What? I'm not. I didn't make that. I'm just saying. This is just one. We'll just look at the poll here. So MLS, number 10. Premier Liga, Portugal, Porto, Benfica, Sporting, etc. Nine Portugal. Eight Dutch, Ajax, Amsterdam, etc. All right, so Dutch. Superliga Argentina, seven. The Brazilian League, six. The French League One. Serie A, number four, Italian League. Bundesliga, number three. La Liga. And... EPL, number one. You know what? My list was pretty damn close to this, and I didn't see this. No, I said the French. The French were number four. I said it. He did. You got to listen. He did. Just keep the mic off.
You can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, or the internet.
Eight technology grand.
Keep it here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's simple, really.
You have a choice.
Either listen to Sports Grid and get the winning edge,
or don't.
And get really good at explaining things to your increasingly impatient wife.
Happy wife, happy life, dude.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
What's the dumbest bet I ever heard of?
I disagree.
Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morency. Everyone's losing their mind. This is what happens when we bring soccer up, even briefly. We joke about the names. I don't know. Matthias is like shaking so much, getting angry about these rankings. He can't hear, understand the list anymore. You're starting to lose it here. You can't accept the reality. You know what? James McInnes brings up a very good point, actually, in the chat. Like, that top 10 right there that we just went through, I was like, we're missing missing a few. And McInnes actually raises a good point. And so does Ken Peacock in England. So Australia and England in the house. The Turkish League. It's a good point. The Turkish League's like good. Those Turkish teams. They're not quite as good as they were. But they're pretty good. But listen, I said the MLS is 10 to 12. Right? That was what I said. I said they're 10 to 12 in the world. So this is Sportytel. So this is an English website, Sportytel, that they had the top 10. So just for the record, and Matthias, listen closely. So just for you, so we're clear. And then we'll check out another list. And like I said 10 to 12 without even looking at any of this stuff. So they've got MLS 10, Portuguese League 9, the Dutch League 8, the Argentinian League 7, the Brazilian League 6, the French League 5th, the Italian League 4th, the Bundesliga 3rd, La Liga 2nd, and EPL. So, you know, my rankings were pretty close, although, like I said, I can live with Turkey, and like I said, we're probably missing... You know, I'm sure Mexico would disagree with this. They'd be like, come on. You're telling us MLS is better than us? So, hey, that's just what British, that's just one thing. We have another ranking here, and this is actually from Soccer Moto. All right, so a specific soccer website, you know, Soccer Moto. Best soccer leagues. They actually went a little bit more detailed. All right, they how we rank the top soccer leagues. Talent production. Quality of matches, number of goals scored, fan atmosphere, championship format and structure, level of competitiveness and unpredictability, personal opinions from fans from all over the planet, overall quality of squad, players, coaches, stadium, quality football associations, performance in international club competitions. It's pretty detailed. All right, see, now this is probably a little bit more realistic right away off the top here. You're going to like this better. They check in, top 15. Number 15, MLS. So MLS is 15 here with this. You feel better now?
No, that's more like it. I have them in the 15 to 20 range.
Let's see who's ahead of them. Let's see who they have ahead of them that we didn't talk about. Number 14, Greece. The Greek League. Number 13, the Ukrainian League. Not bad. Dynamo Kiev and Kiev and Shakhtar Donetsk, etc. Number 12, the Russian Premier Liga. I'm not fully buying that. I'm not fully buying Ukraine and Russia's better than MLS. I'm going to switch that. And you know what? Sorry, Greece. And you know what? I said 10 to 12 with this, and I freaking stand by it. I stand by it. I'm bumping. No, I'm dead serious, man. I'm putting my cleat down. I'm dead serious. Russia, you're out. Ukraine, you're out. You're weak. Ukraine, weak. Hey, you call Ukraine weak. Hey, we're just playing the game here, buddy. Greece, get lost. Sorry, Greek. Greeks listening. But yeah. You guys are bounced. MLS goes up to 12. You guys move down spots, all right? That's how I look at this. They've got Mexico 11. Like I said, these guys are much more on top of it. Right, like this is more realistic. I'm sure right now people would argue with me about the Greece League, the Greek League. They've got like three good teams in that league, and they're damn good. You got Olympiakos, Panathinaikos, which I always butcher, and IAC Athens, the big three.
Good teams.
Yeah, the big. They got the big three. But I'm just stating. Like, you know, my whole point of this conversation, I didn't think I was going to get so worked up about it, but my whole point is the MLS isn't like some joke. Like, I know, like, a lot of you Americans and Canadians and North America, And they'll even, oh, MLS. Oh, I don't watch MLS. I don't want to. Whatever. It's like, all right, well, whatever, dude. You can pretend that you only watch that league or with this league. But, like, you know, so I guess MLS. So I guess people in Mexico shouldn't watch their league because it's a big joke to you, too, then, right? Because it's on par with the MLS. I guess the Russian league's a big joke, too, right? It's on par with the MLS, right? But I guess it's a big joke. No. It's just this self-loathing type thing. And I, you know, I guarantee you a million jackasses that say the MLS sucks don't even watch the MLS. The thing is, the thing is someone that watches a lot of MLS, loves it, and for years, and as a kid type thing, like my entire life, and I'm old, is, and I don't pretend to be the biggest MLS expert in the world, but I watch it, and the pandemic has hurt it. The pandemic hurt MLS. MLS was on a nice roll, post Beckham and stuff. You know, look at all the stadiums, guys. Look at all the teams, the cities that won in. And like these, like Cincinnati with 40,000 people marching into the stadium down the street before the games together. And like crazy atmospheres, great. Like, the, you know, in Atlanta, they sold more tickets for the soccer team than they did the Atlanta Falcons. Dead serious.
Cheaper like, tickets.
And not by that much. You know why? They win. It's like you said, it's cheap. The stadium's cheap. Arthur Blank's a good owner, right? The concessions are cheap and stuff. But, you know, the Seattle Sounders. Seattle Sounders have been packing that football stadium for years, guys. Right? You know, TFC, but pre-pandemic. Crazy atmosphere. Tickets going for $1,000 and stuff to get in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a thriving league. It was thriving. But I noticed with the pandemic, they lost a lot of stars after. You know what I mean? Like, Ibrahimovic going back. Ibrahimovic doesn't help. Like, you know, like, there was a little bit of star power. But the MLS is much better. Yet, one thing with the MLS that they lack, if you watch the games, even though it went 8-5 to the over, is that finishing touch. You know what I mean? Like, the teams will do, you'll watch some of these MLS teams, it's like, man, you guys do a good job, like, you know, nice passing, nice ball control, nice, you know, nice scheme that you have here, nice possession, boom, you get it into the box, Matisse, and they can't do anything with it, you know what I mean? They don't have the skill to, like, to finish it. It's good soccer, but then it's like, oh, come on, like, it's like, come on, man, finish it. And there's some, that's why you see when the Euro stars come over and they start burying it, it's like awesome. But, you know what I mean? They just don't have that extra skill level. And like I said, the pandemic hurt them, bro. A lot of guys don't want to travel. They went back home to their home countries and they said, screw it, I'm making money. But MLS pays real money. You know what it is? The Jozy Altidore on TFC makes $8 million a year, bro. It's a lot of money. Like, it's not like they're getting paid like joke money in the MLS, bro.
Gabe, you know why he gets paid that much? Because when you score 39 goals in the Dutch league and then come back to the MLS, they're going to pay you every single penny that you're worth to make you leave Holland. And that's where Jozy Altidore got his resume, man.
He was better in the Dutch league.
Yeah, he was. And you know what? He came back with the money.
So that's my point. No, but that's my point. How good's the Dutch league? This guy lit it up there. The guy misses the, he doesn't light it up in the MLS, bro. Trust me. I watch a lot of TFC. All right? I watch a lot of TFC. So that's my freaking point.
That's my point. Striker when he was younger than when he was when he
You're right.
Older. Do you remember the hype that coming from Altidore when he played for the USA? It's like this guy was a big bull that put everything behind the net. And then all of a sudden it stopped. It just kind of stopped. I don't know what happened.
Hey, you know what, though? And there are times, though, when you realize, though, just how much better they are. And like I said, I'm not saying, you know, MLS, but that's why I enjoy the MLS All-Stars playing against the EPL side. So, you know, that, I always like that in the summertime when I do that. But, you know, you can tell, Matthias, like when you see, like Wayne Rooney comes to Washington, right? And the guy's like fat and drunk, bro. You know what I'm saying? He's getting busted for drunk driving. You know what I mean? He's fat and drunk, and he's just booting in lasers, bro, from like 60 yards out. It's like, man, this guy, like, boom, goal. It's like, oh my God, what a shot, right? It's like, man, no one in MLS has a shot like that, right? Like, you just don't see it, right? They're not like, it's like, boom, that's like this laser. But look, dude, look at like Alphonso Davies, man. I know he's a kid, but like, Yeah, but look, he's young, but he's still young now with Bayern. But he was on the Vancouver Whitecaps not long ago, bro. You know what I mean? You know, it was a couple of years, but he was on the Vancouver Whitecaps, and it's not like he lit up the league. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he had some nice goals. They were like, man, this kid's got talent. He didn't own the MLS. He's done better with Bayern. He's still a kid. So, like, don't give me this crap that MLS sucks, all right? It all started with the names. All right, we're talking NFL draft on the other side.
Remember the good old days before you found us, got the winning edge, and started winning?
Neither do we.
Thank God.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're a true player. You look for every advantage you can get. Congratulations.
You just found it.
The winning edge. Sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else. 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204.
Anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. We're slowing it down. Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. The countdown to the National Football League draft continues. Let's bring in one of the football guys. Footballguys.com. Sigmund Bloom steps up and in and joins us. Sigmund, welcome to the program. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Oh, it's good to be with you. And there will be some fan bases that need anger management classes after the draft. We just need to wait and see who.
Well, I tell you what, I'm trying to figure out my props. And, man, I'm confused. I'm just confused. Every time I sort of lock something in and I'm about to click it, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll just wait. Let me do a little bit more research here as the draft approaches right now. And really, it all sort of starts in the four hole with the Atlanta Falcons. We know the quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3. We don't really know what the Atlanta Falcons are going to do. Are they going to trade the pick? Maybe. But if they don't, you know, I'm starting to lock this thing in that it's going to be Kyle Pitts. What do you think about the Atlanta Falcons at 4? And do you think they go with Pitts even though they're already loaded offensively?
I think that Pitts is a good favorite for the possibilities, but this might be a situation where it's like 40-30-30. When we're trying to handicap this, because there is still some talk that if the right quarterback is there, maybe Trey Lance of North Dakota State, maybe Justin Fields, Ohio State, that they would take a quarterback. But there was also talk that the new GM, Terry Fontenot, and the head coach, new head coach, Arthur Smith, had a disagreement about the viability of Matt Ryan. Certainly makes sense to draft Kyle Pitts if you're pushing to be competitive with Matt Ryan right now. But they could also trade down if one of those quarterbacks is there. So I think this is why so many teams are making phone calls. So many teams have contingency plans because that number 4 pick is the key to the first round. And there's 3 possibilities that all make sense.
What do you think of Arthur Smith going to Atlanta and working with Matt Ryan? We saw the success with Ryan Tannehill, but Tannehill is younger and a lot more athletic and also has the best running back and the most powerful running back in the National Football League to back him up. I've always thought that Atlanta would be, you know, that it would help Matt Ryan. I don't think he has the arm strength he used to, but I always thought it would help him if they just got a little bit better of a ground game going so they weren't so predictable on offense. But what do you think about Matt Ryan and Arthur Smith coming into this year? Do you buy into Matt Ryan?
Not necessarily. You know, I think we've seen his best football. That being said, I think that we also have some questions about Arthur Smith. You know, he isn't going to have, as you said, Derrick Henry. He isn't going to have the ability to have defenses off balance in that way. And also Dave Rigoni, his offensive coordinator, is not really someone of note. So we'll see if Smith and Rigoni are adaptable to the personnel that they have while still looking to the future. I think that's that's the most interesting thing about this Falcons decision. Are you going to hit the reset now and start the rebuilding, or are you pushing the chips forward? Because it's a very different set of considerations how you handle the roster when Matt Ryan is a $40 million plus cap hit next year, no matter what, whether he's on the roster or not. So I think we're going to learn about how this team views Matt Ryan in forming their decision, which is part of why it's so difficult to pin down exactly what they'll do.
And I think you just answered it right there, Sigmund, as well, as far as Matt Ryan's contract situation is concerned. And, you know, you've got Julio Jones. You've got Calvin Ridley. You've got this explosive offense. I totally get it. If Matt Ryan was in the last year of his contract, I think there wouldn't even be a debate here. They'd be like, you know what, let's grab a quarterback. But, you know, he makes a lot of money one way or the other. So let's lead into a young quarterback here in Joe Burrow. So Joe Burrow was getting murdered last year before he got hurt. So it's clear we know that they need offensive line help. But I don't believe they're going to be able to pass the temptation and be able to resist taking Ja'Marr Chase, who I think will be there. And I got to believe that Joe Burrow is going to encourage them to take Ja'Marr Chase. And I got to believe that Joe Burrow does have a little bit of influence on this. I'm not saying massively, but I mean, come on. They killed it together. He's the best wide receiver on the board, at least in my opinion. I think it's a natural fit here. Do you think they go with Sewell, or do you think they go with Chase, or if it's Pitts there, what do you think Cincinnati are going to do?
Right. Well, Duke Tobin, the director of player personnel for the Bengals, was speaking on this week, and he sounded resigned to not getting Kyle Pitts. And I don't think that's because he knows for sure that he's going at number four to Atlanta. I think that Chase and Sewell is exactly what we're looking at here. And Joe Goodberry, who's somebody I always trust on the Bengals, he thinks it's going to be Sewell. And one of the ways to look at this is if we're hearing that Joe Burrow was lobbying for Ja'Marr Chase to be the pick, he wouldn't have to lobby if the front office was also on the same page. I do think that when you look at the Browns signing Jadeveon Clowney, you're in a division with T.J. Watt. You know, this is certainly something that you want to keep Joe Burrow upright, and protecting him is the key. Riley Reiff, their right tackle that they signed, is just a one-year rental. So I think that Sewell is a sound pick. And I think that there's a lot of wide receiver depth in this draft. They do run three wide sets a lot. They may look at that position later on. Some say that the offensive line talent is better in the second round than the wide receiver talent. I do think it's going to be Sewell when it's all said and done.
So let me ask you, Sigmund, because the next couple of picks, I don't know. You never know with the Miami Dolphins. You know what I'm saying? They march to their own beat. They don't care what, you know, your rankings, anybody else's rankings. They think outside the box and they put the team together the way they want. So they're kind of unpredictable. And then the Detroit Lions too, bro. I don't know. Like the Lions need so many things, right? What the hell are the Lions going to do? Like, who knows these next two teams? So let's take a shot in the dark, Ozzy Osbourne style, old school. What do you think happens with the fish here?
I think you're right to say that the Dolphins are a wild card because they must have had three non-quarterbacks in mind when they traded back up from 12 to 6. All players to help out, Tua Tagovailoa, Pitts, Chase, and one of the Alabama receivers. If I had to make a call right now, I'd say it's Jalen Waddle, not Devontae Smith. But now if the draft falls so that if it goes, say, Pitts or a quarterback at 4 and then Sewell at 5, you know, if it's Pitts at 4, well, there's that quarterback, Lance or Fields, sitting there, or maybe both if San Francisco takes Mac Jones. They can trade down again. Chris Greer has already shown by making two trades before the draft that he's willing to play the draft. He's willing to bet on the probabilities. And Jalen Waddle could be there at 9, which is Denver's pick. He could be there at 8, which is Carolina's pick. You know, they could go back down to 15 or 19, Washington, and then come back up again. So I think that's I do think that if it comes down to it, like we projected, if it's Pitts and then Sewell, and they have to make the pick, they don't get a taker, then Waddle would be the pick. And you're right to look at Detroit as a team that, unlike Atlanta, has clarity where they're at. They're in rebuild mode. And they need as many bullets, as many darts as they can amass as Brad Holmes is trying to remake this roster. So I think that we're looking at number seven as maybe the most likely pick in the top 10 to be traded on draft night. It might be for a quarterback. It might be for one of the receivers. It might be for Rashawn Slater. It could be for the first cornerback off the board. But I think the Lions will be willing to take less than what the book would call for because of their needs. So I think that's when we'll sit up straight and expect to hear a trade, but just not be quite sure who the trade is for.
You know, it's amazing, Sigmund. We're in conversation with Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. Like, the Lions, I'm sure, like, they don't even know. Like, there's just so many different, there's so many different ways you can go about it. You mentioned Holmes. So Holmes comes over from the Rams. He was the player personnel guy for people tuning in. So he essentially drafted. He was part of the team that drafted Jared Goff. He likes Goff. A lot of people don't, but he does. And Goff is making a nice chunk of money for the next couple of years. So I don't see them drafting the quarterback. Then I say to myself, well, you guys have so many holes. You've got massive problems. Is Devontae Smith or Waddle really going to help you all that much right now? They're like, that's a shiny, you know, that's a luxury item. You know what I'm saying? That's a luxury item. So, yeah, do you go with an offensive lineman foundation? For me, I like Micah Parsons, bro. I like his nasty edge. And if I'm a team like Detroit, you know, you get a badass linebacker, a kid that can create some havoc, a kid that's got some swagger. I like that. I like him in a lot of spots, actually. But, you know, my gut tells me that, you know, they probably do something like that and go defense. But I really don't know. But what's your take on Parsons? Do you like this kid? I'm a big fan.
Yeah, you have to get excited when you see him shoot gaps, when you see how disruptive that he can be. And I think that we may look back, and if Parsons is the pick at seven, that's maybe more of a Dan Campbell pick. And it could signal that Campbell, who also has a six-year contract, has some sway in the war room, and the buck doesn't stop at Holmes, because Campbell's talking about biting kneecaps. He's talking about Lance Riggs, Brian Urlacher, Luke Kuechly. When he's mentioning foundational players, he's thinking a linebacker. So that makes a lot of sense. But I think that we should also look for Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame, is also an off-ball linebacker who could be the first one off the board because of his great movement and coverage skills. And even Zaven Collins from Tulsa, who's, you know, defensive end size off-ball linebacker. I don't think it's clear which one of these guys will go off the board first, but I do think we'll see all three off the board probably between that Detroit pick and, let's say, 16 or 17.
You know, I'm a big fan, at least of the kid's talent, Owe, the other Penn State prospect. How far do you think he goes? Is he going to get into the late first round? Is he, you know, someone scoop him up in the early 20s? What's your opinion on him?
Well, this edge class is difficult to project because of some of these questions. You know, in the case of Owe, physically, he's everything that you would want, but the production wasn't there. Now, someone say disruption is production, but that's something that may give some teams pause. You've got Jalen Phillips out of Miami. If he didn't have injury concerns, he would probably be the first edge rusher off the board. I think we may just come down to what the medical staff say on him. You know, Ojulari from Georgia was productive. Quiddy Pye from Michigan, certainly. You know, we could see these four go in any order because of the nature of the risk-reward levels there. I do think Owe is a first-rounder, but I'm not sure that he goes off the board before those others, depending on the philosophy of the team that's taking him.
You know, and listen, we'll get you out of here in a minute here, Sigmund. We appreciate your time, but I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, and I think Owe is the perfect fit for a team like the Buffalo Bills. Great coaching staff, already talented. We've seen they've worked with young players, Edmonds very well already. The kid's got a ton of freaking speed, and as you stated, I'm one of these guys that buys in. Yeah, sacks are cute and stuff, and, you know, a guy gets sacks, you just got to pay him after. Give me a guy that's going to disrupt the play. you know what I'm saying? And this kid, he's just so fast, and he's still raw, bro, right? He's still raw.
Yeah.
He can learn the techniques and get to the quarterback, but I'm a fan of the kid, and if he falls, I hope the Bills take him.
Yeah, I think that they're in a position. Here are the Bills finally in a position where the roster has been built, the plan has been executed, and they can take best player available. They can be like the Ravens. They can just take the player with that high ceiling that they know they can develop, so that makes a lot of sense.
Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. Sigmund, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. The countdown to the National Football League draft continues. Check out the footballguys.com. Thanks, Sigmund.
My pleasure.
Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
It's okay.
Breathe. You found it. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody's got an opinion. Go ahead.
Ask them.
But only a few have an opinion informed by expert analysis and experience. It's called trust.
It's why we're here.
For you. Keep it here and get the edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Quick, it's 180 minutes in Sports Talk Radio. 3 minute warning, level 3. Great show this evening. Great job by our crew tonight. We appreciate it. And we appreciate everybody tuning in tomorrow night. We're going to bring it as we always do on the Friday night Freak Show. Steve Merrill will step up and in. We'll run the gauntlet with Steve. A little NASCAR talk, too, for the NASCAR bettors. But we'll get into some baseball, basketball, baseball, NASCAR. Tony Finn, always great, Tony. Tony's great, man. Whatever sport it is, just go game by game with Tony. Boom, boom, boom. We'll hit all the weekend baseball, San Diego and Los Angeles. Another great series coming up this weekend. San Diego takes a game one this evening. The Dodgers had their opportunities late. Listen, San Diego were up 1-0. They scored in the fourth, and then they scored in the sixth. The Dodgers responded with two in the seventh, and it looked like, all right, here comes L.A. But San Diego scores one run in the top end of the eighth inning. They hang on for a 3-2 win. We have three more, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing, all right, because this is great baseball that they're playing. And speaking of great baseball, San Francisco get it done again. So does Seattle. All right. And I'm telling you guys, listen, Seattle are one of these teams that the odds makers, you know, the odds makers, they're not going to adjust the number that much on this team because people really aren't betting these guys. You've got Kikuchi on the hill here on Friday. Martin Perez goes for Boston. I was hoping that Boston would be a little bit bigger favorites, but Seattle are making people money right now, the most profitable team in baseball. And speaking of profit, tomorrow night we're going to hit the big UFC card. They had the stare downs today with Usman and Usman and Masvidal. And listen, I'm a big Masvidal fan and stuff, and I like him. I think he's a cool dude. I think he's good for the sport, but I don't think you should bring that, like, badass, you know, MF-er belt up, like, you know, to that. He's got his belt. Like, Usman's got his belt. Hey, I saw that, and I'm thinking to myself, all three favorites, all three champions roll. We'll see what you guys think tomorrow night. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Winning Edge benefit number 27. Not having to explain to your wife why you lost.
Sweet.
You're listening to the trusted source for gaming, odds, and more. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.